This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey in studio. Mayor, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me this morning.
Appreciate your time. We got a lot of subjects to cover here this morning. And one of those is, right out of the gate, should the Steelers sign Aaron Rodgers?
No. I think we need a long-term investment in quarterback. You know, I think maybe we need to, you know, if we're going to have a veteran, I think we have a, maybe we should talk to Russell. But I'm not the Rooneys. The Rooneys have made some excellent decisions in the years. Whatever the Rooneys go with, I would definitely be in support of. But I just think, you know, long term, we need an investment in the quarter. We need another Ben Roethlisberger. We need someone that's going to be here for a while and is going to fit in. But I do like the acquisition that they did yesterday with Slay, also with Metcalf.
Yeah, you pay attention to all this stuff. Yeah,
there were some great acquisitions that they did. So I'm happy with the direction they're moving in. But I just think that if I had to choose, I'd go with Russell first.
All right. Mayor, a lot of conversation about, let's start with the vote for the Democratic Committee.
Okay.
The vote by just a few for Corey O'Connor, who's battling you in this primary coming up in a couple of months. I think they thought it was going to be a wider gap. Let's start there. Your feelings about the end result.
Yeah, well, one, I just want to thank all the Democratic committee people who came out and voted for me. I want to thank all the volunteers. I really appreciate, you know, I've always come up through the Democratic committee. So, I have a certain appreciation for all that they do and for all that they've done for the years. Let me say that first. Secondly, I know it was predicted from his camp that we would lose by 75 to 100. You know, they've said a whole lot of things about me that haven't been true, a whole lot of things that have been exaggerated. You know, to come down to an historic 274 to 270 speaks volumes in regards to exactly the momentum that we have. We didn't lose by 75. We didn't lose by 100. We're demonstrating that we're not only in this, but we're picking up momentum as we go. Every day the campaign is picking up. I can see it when our people's out there in the field knocking these doors, talking to the people. They're so excited. So at the end of the day, all this demonstrated again is that, you know, people hear one thing, but, you know, when we're on the grounds at these doors, we're hearing something totally different. You know, they want someone that's going to stand up in the city. They want someone that's going to be about their word. Larry, I've always been somebody, no matter what's going on, one thing that you and I know, I've come and answered any questions that you have of me. And I tell everybody, you, when I was going on Marty's show, everybody, don't ask me no softball questions. Come with your best questions. Because at the end of the day, that's how I'm going to get better. You know, so I've always been able to sit here and take any questions that you have because I put in the work and I've done it. And the reason why I respect the democratic process so much is because these are the people that I go to and ask for their support and ask for their help. These are the ones that I always go to. You and I both know that I never went and met with anybody from Trump's MAGA team in order to get information, to consult with them, to have operatives. I didn't spend President's Day meeting with those groups in order to find out how they can have influence in the mayor's race and take over the mayor's office. I've never done that. I've stayed true to my values because I am who I am. But we can't continue to say that we Democrats or progressives and we meet with MAGA people for their consultation, their operatives and everything else. At some time in life, we have to be able to speak the truth. And the truth is, I'm a progressive. I am a progressive Democrat who demonstrated the ability to get conservative and moderate votes at the Democratic nomination. And I appreciate them for that.
And you're suggesting Cory O'Connor and his team did that?
Oh, they did. They met with MAGA. They met with MAGA Trump MAGA Republicans on President's Day at the Duquesne Club. We got the letter and everything right here that he would come. Now, what he said is he didn't know who was going to be there. That was a lie. Then he said Democratic strategist was going to be there. That, you know, I don't know if they were there or that. Then he said he didn't know anything about it. He just, you know, happened to show up. But we got a letter saying, hey, Corey's going to be there to talk to them to bag of Republicans about this race and about how they can have influence in the mayor's primary. That's a reality. That's a fact. So we've never went that direction because we understand what the cuts that Trump want to do. One, the DEI, which is crazy. Second, with ICE, the Department of Education, Medicaid, and everything else. You need someone that's going to let them know that government right there that they want to push forward does not have a place in our city. We do not need a dictator. We do not need two presidents. What we need is a leader in this city that's going to stand up to that. And I would have never. Could you imagine what the news would have reported if I met with the MAGA Republicans? They'd have been on me for 2 weeks straight.
What about the amount of money that Cory O'Connor has been able to raise comparatively to you for this primary?
Yeah, we raised in February. We had a great fundraising month. We done extremely well. But, you know, look, let's look at the facts. I'm not going to be able to raise as much money as Cory. I'm not taking money from MAGA Republicans. I'm not taking money from real estate tycoons that, you know, want to build, you don't want to see the city flourish in regards to having affordable housing. Those are the ones that have been saying that we just want to build market rate housing. And market rate housing through the years have taken 15,000 of our families in gentrified communities, 3,000 low income, you know, 3,000 working class families, 700 African-American families. That's not how you're going to stabilize the city or repopulate the city. If market rate was the way to do it, then we wouldn't be here having this conversation today. We are closer to being a third class city than we are a second class city. Why is that important? A third class city, you and I know we lose state and federal funding because we would have been moved to a third class city. I don't want that. And so that's why we've been laser focused on keeping Pittsburgh home, making sure that everybody here has an opportunity to be able to afford. All we asked in inclusionary zoning is that they give us 10% of affordability at 50% of the AMI. Let me explain what that looks like. That means if you make $45,000 and you have two kids, you can afford to live in this city. And we only want 10%. That means you get 90% to do market rate. Their response to me, these big developers, is we can't maximize our dollar like that, so we don't want to do that. But you want me to give you taxpayer money in order for you to build your empire, but we continue to bleed and gentrify communities. And at the end of the day, that is not what I'm planning to do. Keep Pittsburgh Home has been able to take properties off of the land bank, make them home ownership, put them back on the tax rolls, and we're continuing. Before I came in, Larry, you and I know we hadn't moved one property out of the land bank. Now we've moved.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Over 150 properties out of the land bank. Keep Pittsburgh Home talks about how we make more homeowners. What we've done is take 150 low-income renters and made them first-time homeowners in our city through OWN PGH. So we're continuing to stabilize the population in our city and grow the population by making sure that we make this city affordable.
We're with Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey. Want to talk about crime and some social media posts even overnight about what transpired in the weekend downtown. We continue our conversation with Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey in studio. Appreciate you coming in, Mayor.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it, Larry. Thank you.
Talk about crime. That's a lot of critics come after you saying the city's in shambles, it's dangerous, and we've seen these posts from Kids Running Wild this past weekend. Mm. What happened there? Do you know?
Yeah, we're still investigating that, but the reality is that we're going to always make sure that we keep the city safe. I mean, when I came in office, we started with 71 homicides. One homicide, Larry, is too many, but we had 71 in the city when I took over. Right now, we got a 33% reduction in homicides. That's a major number. We went from 71 homicides to 42 homicides, and it continues to drop every single year. We got 45% in regards to non-fatal gun violence. That's amazing in this city. So when we talk about those two prime numbers in regards of a city being safe, when you can reduce homicides by 33%, when you can decrease non-fatal gun violence by almost 45%, we're doing what we said we were going to do. And here's a statistic that I'm most proud of, that children, and you know exactly how we talked about children and guns through the years. You know how much I've been an advocate with guns, being an advocate for gun reform and things of that sort. Between the ages of 13 and 17, Larry, in the city, we've had no homicide amongst our youth between 13 and 17 in 2024. Now, the reason for that one is, let me be quite frank, you always need a little bit of luck in that right there. So let me say that first and foremost. But also the fact that we expanded our recreation hours. We expanded our recreation hours to stay up late because I believe that if you keep a child in a structured environment, they'll live a structured life. And so opening up our rec centers, giving them something to do in the evening, like Darrell Porter does a great job up at Amherst with the basketball program and having kids come in. Phillips, they do a great job of opening it up over there and making sure that kids can stay there until, later at night. Our nighttime basketball that we've been doing on the south side and other areas is keeping those kids off the street. So one is just extending our recreation center hours so that children have a place to go. Secondly is our Stop the Violence Fund. We've been giving the money, we've been given funding to people that are not just in the political setting, but actually have the track record of transforming young boys and girls into men and women. I think that's extremely important. I always tell young kids when I talk to them that there's a difference between growing old and growing up. And I want to see you grow up. I think that's extremely important. Our Youth Civic Leadership Academy, where we partner and we met with an organization called Youth Enrichment Services, and we get kids from the public school system. And in this, what they get is they get 3 college credits from CCAC, and they get a paid stipend to learn about government. That changes how they see government. Most of our kids have no idea what government is about, but to be able to bring them in and teach them about Parks and Rec, the Department of Public Works, whatever it may be. And then the last thing we did was I had interns. We did youth interns. So our youth interns followed us around. Now, you could imagine
you following the mayor around and you getting to asking questions about gun violence, about, let's be honest, drugs, but also about deer maintenance. You know, and they was like, deer maintenance? What is deer maintenance? And we get to talk to them about it. And then the last is our youth commission that will be a major part of our comprehensive plan, teaching them how to go to door to door, knock on these doors, talk to the residents that live there, fill out a needs assessment survey. The skills that we're giving them shows them that if you continue on your path of a structured lifestyle, then you can live a structured life forever. It's my belief that the more we expose our kids to knowledge and education, the further they go.
What about the police chief position? What's the game plan there?
Yeah,
that's been a point of controversy for you.
Mm, yeah.
As you know, how do you address that?
Well, one, I want to thank Chief Ragland for 30 years of service. I thought he would have been a tremendous and great chief.
Why didn't he want to do it?
I was 100% behind him.
What'd he tell you?
He came to me and he said, you know, Mayor, I'm being asked to do some things that I don't want to do and I'm not comfortable. He said, and I'm tired of them politicizing the chief position. I asked him what he meant. He said that I think they want me to do something that's not ethical. They want me for their vote to put two people on as assistant chiefs, and I don't want to do that. I don't want that. And he said, I'm tired of it. He said, I've met with him over and over again. It wasn't just one meeting that I was in with him. These were several meetings that I've been in. And I just feel that at the end of the day, they want to continue to drag this out. And if I'm not going to do what they want to do, I'm not going to have their vote. I said, well, you know, those are only a couple of people. I still believe we had a vote. But I think them politicizing the process so much just broke his spirit. All Chief Ragland wanted to do was the job. And so at the end of the day, I salute him, because without Chief Ragland, we wouldn't have had the downtown detail. Chief Ragland was responsible for putting the deployment of the three police deployments out there, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. Chief Ragland was responsible for the South Side, Carson Street, and making sure, listen, when I came in, Larry, you know, Carson Street was on fire. There was a shooting almost every day. You don't hear about that now. You don't hear about all those shootings on the weekend like you did when I first came in. We did a great job of making sure that we took care of that. So I'm going to miss him. Now, you know, and like even with Chief Scarrato, you know, I'm going to miss him. I mean, I didn't like how he did it, but he decided to go be with his, you know, his partner. He said that on the Marty Griffin Show, that I'm leaving because my partner's job at, you know, in Texas, his virtual job had been canceled. And so, you know, he had to make a decision.
How do you respond to, over the past weekend, we talked about the kids running around the streets. Somebody suggested that you told the police, don't bother with them, no arrests.
Huh? Somebody said that? No, that's not true. Somebody said that?
Yes. Social media. Otherwise.
That's not true. That's not true at all. We're investigating exactly what happened. You know, there was not an event downtown, nor was there any activity for youth. For, you know, I'm always, the thing that amazed me and why I wanted to investigate it real closely is that, you know, we've all been young and we've all, but I've never heard of 75 youth just coming downtown to wreak havoc without there being an event or something down there that they were already at. When we went back over, you know, the reports that we have on things like that, that's never occurred. This is the first time. So they're investigating and we should have some answers hopefully in a couple weeks.
How much time do you have, Mary? You got to go?
What, I got to go?
You got to, okay, because I want to come 40, back.
I thought it was 45 minutes.
Yes.
Right? Okay, yeah, 45, is, yeah.
I wanted to make sure to be respectful of your time.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you, all the divisiveness, all the criticism you receive, I want to give you a chance to set your record straight.
Got it.
When we come back with Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey. Larry Richard with Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey and a chance. Mayor, wanted to give you the opportunity. You deal with a lot of criticism, a lot of very harsh criticism, and give you an opportunity to set the record straight on any issue that you want, that you sit back and hear what's going on in the community. You say, well, that's not true or that's not right.
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation that's out there intentionally from my opponent and from others. But let me start off by saying
Because I didn't see the post on Facebook yesterday or Twitter or whatever it was on, or X, whatever they want to call it. You know, my police officers know if there's a crime going on, arrest people. And if you talk to my police officer, they'll say that. So for anybody to put that out there that I said don't arrest none of the youth, I mean, if they jumping and they doing destructive things, you know, they're supposed to, and the police know that. So, you know, for someone to say that again, that level of misinformation is why at the end of the day, is unfortunate, particularly when we're talking about coming from journalists. It's very unfortunate that somebody would say that. My record is my record, Larry. I'm very proud of my record. To be able to say that we've reduced homicides by 33%, you know, to say that we've been able to do non-fatal shootings, gun violence is down 45%. To say in 20 years, the police have not had a contract, to be able to say that we gave them a contract with a disciplinary matrix so that everything is on the up and up, and a pay raise is significant. Do they make enough? No. But is that something for the first time in 20 years without going to arbitration, they got a contract done and a pay raise? I think that's significant. When I came in, we had went 2 years without hiring any police officer. I inherited that. We opened up the academy. We've had three classes. We got two more scheduled for this year. Recruiting police has been difficult, not only here, but nationwide. It's not the glamorous career that everybody wants to be in right now due to the George Floyds and things of that nature. It's become more difficult. But last time we had over 200 applicants. From 200 applicants, the ones that made it through was 40. So I'm very thrilled at the fact that we're beginning to do a great job. So from a public safety standpoint, you know, we had a challenge. When I came in, second half comms wasn't even open. They were still dealing with the red tape to get it open. We cut through the red tape. We opened it. We started getting our unsheltered into second half comms. Then it catches on fire. So we had to start from day one. Now I'm glad to report that our unsheltered community are in stable, respectable, and decent housing. I want to thank Bethany and Sam for helping out with that. There's no more. We don't have any unsheltered on the north side trail or the jail trail. They're all inside, and now we will be doing the south side trail. As I told people, when we have suitable, stable, and dignified housing, we will be moving our unsheltered into those, and we've done just that. This is the first time in 20 years that you have an administration to build 2,000 units of affordable housing, 1,000 in the pipeline. This is the first time ever that the downtown area has seen this type of investment. I want to thank Governor Shapiro. I want to thank County Exec Sarah Ana Morado, as well as the Allegheny Conference. We met at my office for a year. We took the plan to Harrisburg to meet with Governor Shapiro. $600 million for 10 years coming to downtown. Mark 8th Street is now. We just broke ground on Marcus on 8th Street with the Cultural District. So we're doing 8th Street. We're looking to do Market Square and Mellon Square to revamp our public spaces to make them more advantageous for people to come downtown. We got seven conversion projects right now to turn commercial real estate into affordable units downtown. We've done a lot. First time ever in this region that we got 12 low-income tax credit deals and two funding cycles to be able to build more affordable housing in this city. First time ever in the city, we had a $30 million affordability housing bond so that at the end of the day, we can build more housing and preserve more affordable housing. $37 million of our federal funds went to preserving and building more affordable housing. Keep Pittsburgh Home is something that we moved for the first time in 8 years. Before I got there, the land bank was already in process but had not moved one property. Since then, we have moved 150 properties from the land bank back onto the tax rolls. That's amazing all by itself. Our own PGH is where we took 160 low-income renters and turned them into homeowners. Most of them headed by single women households. That's amazing. When we talk about, when we talk about the fact that our bond rating, where everybody said that we would be in a deficit, our bond rating, where it's difficult in every city that you go to because of the ARPA funds are leaving, the bond rating agencies moved our bond rating from AA- to AA. They've improved that. We ended the year on a surplus.
That is amazing. It's a wonderful thing. At the end of the day, the NFL draft is coming here. Do you know what how beautiful it was when Mr. Rooney and them called me and said, hey, Mayor, thank you for all you've done. The NFL draft is coming. They wouldn't be coming for a city that they didn't see that was stable and safe because their brand is bigger than that. So to have the NFL draft coming here is amazing. When we talk about some of the other things we did to make this city safe, such as we created 30, we created 30 new traffic calming patterns. I'm sorry, we created a whole lot of traffic calming patterns in 30 new neighborhoods that never seen it, from Homewood to Hazelwood to Greenfield. It's amazing what we've done in that situation right there. We've also fully funded the automatic red light so that at the end of the day, there's less confrontation between police and community. They could just look at the camera and be able to send the ticket. We've been able to do that. Again, keep Pittsburgh home. Look, we're making sure we protect renters. We're holding slumlords accountable. We're expanding first-time homeowners. We're regulating short-term, such as Vrbo's and such as Airbnbs. We're making sure we do that. And we're also making sure that these corporate developers that come from out of town, buy them below market rate and then flip them to make more money and outprice our Pittsburgh people. We're making sure that we stop that. This is why all that's important. Larry, we did this in 3 years. We've done more in 3 years than most administrations have done in 8. And so they can lie about my record. They can put out all this misinformation. The reason why I don't focus on that, Larry, because at the end of the day, there is nothing I can do. They had a push poll out against me that said that I was releasing criminals from jail. I don't even control the jail. So there's a whole lot of misinformation that my opponent's putting out there. You heard me say it earlier today. If I'd have met with mega Republicans at the Duquesne Club, especially on KDKA, it would have been everywhere. They'd have blasted it out. My opponent can meet with them, and it's just another day in the media. So I couldn't tell you why that. You know, you asked me a question. My answer is I can't tell you why. But what I can tell you is this. I'm proud of the work that we've done. I've made a commitment to the police and Department of Public Works that I would never criticize them in public. So I've never criticized them in public because I don't believe that you can build your morale of your workforce by criticizing them and blaming them things in public. If we gonna have tough conversations, let's have them behind closed doors. We did our job. That's why I'm running for mayor again, because we're going to continue to move this city forward in a way that says that we create a city for all. There's a difference between the rhetoric of daytime and what I just mentioned. I'm not telling people what we gonna do. They can check the record and see we've done it.
What about public works during the snow? You took a lot of heat for that. The streets, maybe a simple thing, but really important to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, and it should be.
How have you addressed that?
Yeah, and it should be. And, you know, I was clear when I came in. We're talking about decades of disinvestment in the public works. That's why I didn't come out and blast them. I'm talking about when I came in, we didn't have no trucks. we was down 21% in personnel. And so we've done a lot to be able to hire. First thing we've done is we said, look, we want a first snowstorm service level standard, and we treat every street, we treat all the streets, Hold on. I gotta wait till that goes off. But we treat our streets. We purchased 12 new vehicles to supplement the DPW snow fleet. We're still investing. We spent $40 million because we weren't only short in fleet only short in fleet in Department of Public Works. We were short with the fleet and police. We were short with the police and fire and ambulance. But listen, I only been here for 3 years. The disinvestment didn't start 3 years ago. The disinvestment started 15, 20 years ago. My opponent was on council. He wasn't justifying or saying that they needed these to be able to invest in our fleet. We did. We spent $40 million, $20 million in ARPA, $20 million in our money to ensure that we got an ambulance. We just did something on that. Some trucks for DPW. You just heard me say we got 12. We leased six and we bought. We made sure that at the end of the day we had some police vehicles that we can get. We still got a long way to go when it comes to talking about investing in our core and our fleet because of the years of disinvestment. So have they done better? Yes. DPW's done better, and here's how I'll tell you. When I first got in 21, we couldn't get snow up for 3 days. You know what I mean? We're not waiting 3 days to get the snow up now. And had some of our vehicles broke down? Well, if you got 15 to 20-year vehicles and we haven't invested in them, Yes, they're going to break down. But the reality is we started to change that narrative. We are investing in them, but we're not going to get there overnight. There's no microwave meals when it comes to growth. But what we are doing is we are steadfast and making sure that everything we do is about improving the core services of this city. That's not something we're talking about. It's something that we've proven. And that's why I'm running for mayor. This is the difference. We're transforming this city into the city that we wanted to be for everybody. We're not holding on to yesterday. So the misinformation, like, you know what I mean? I let people out of the jail. You know, I told them not to arrest people downtown. Larry, if I focused on that, I couldn't have run off the accomplishments that I ran off. I mean, that I just told you. So at the end of the day, we've done a wonderful job. We will continue to do that because I love this city. I love this city. And I have not came on this radio station or any other radio station and lied about my record. I have not come on here and told false claims about my opponent or anybody else. Everything I've said has been accurate to the point. And it's upsetting that you have some journalists that can come out and say anything and try to substantiate lies that have nothing to do with me but want to put on me.
How much of this is about race?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not because, you know, that's always, I'm not going to get into that. I let the people decide. They have a decision to make in May, in regards to the election. You know, when I understood coming into this office, being the first African-American the city's ever seen, that, you know, I would have some challenges. I've embraced those challenges because at the end of the day, Larry, I'm not concerned about how people see me because, you know, of the color of my skin. You know, Marty asked me one day, how do I feel about people not liking me because I'm black? Well, I mean, like, what do you want me to say to that? Like, I've been in this city my whole life. There's nothing I can say to that. If you don't like me because I'm black, there's nothing I can do about that. I can't focus on how you treat me. I can only focus on how I treat you. And I'm going to treat you the way that I would want you to treat me. I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I've always come up in diverse. My family's from the Hill. I was born on Lawn Street in Oakland. You know, we was the second black family. I grew up with white and blacks my whole life. I don't have no ill will towards anybody. I don't only see people's color. I see their humanity. I see who they are as a person. I don't have to judge somebody based on the color of their skin. So when he asked me how I feel about, you know, people not liking me because I'm black, or the big developers not liking me because, you know, I'm not letting them do what they want to do because I want market rate, or the MAGA Republicans because I won't do business with them, I can't worry about that. What I can worry about is how we build a city for all, how we stand up for everyday Pittsburghers in the city, how we create housing where everybody can have an opportunity to live, where we continue to work with our police to make in our neighborhoods to make this the safest city in America, where we can show that we're open for business, where everybody can thrive. That's the city I want. I want a city that's for everybody, not a city that everybody looking at me or certain percentages of the population calling in, telling Marty or telling whoever we don't like him because of the color of his skin. You know, I asked Marty, what room are you in that they talking like that? And why are they talking to you like that? You know what I mean? Don't nobody come in my space and talk to me like that. So at the end of the day, I'm going to stay focused on making this the best city in America. I love this city. I'm going to do whatever I can to build this city. And in May, I'm asking for your vote because at the end of the day, there is no go back. Let's go forward and make a city for all.
Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey, appreciate your time, Mayor. Thank you.